Yeah, Till Show on Starcom Radio Network, AM/FM stations all across America. Lois Melbourne is back on the show because I believe this is a very important message. Inspired kids become inspiring adults. Lois, welcome back. How important is that?
Well, I think it's incredibly important. We need to give chance to kids to kind of stretch their wings and get exposed to opportunity, and then that leads them to be more productive when they get older.
Sure. And give me an example of that. What do you think you can expect from an inspired kid when they become an inspiring adult?
Well, I will give an example of someone who is well known to anyone, which is Bill Gates.
Yes.
And he had access to computers and was inspired by that long before anyone his age was really tapping into it, and long before most adults were. And it gave him the inspiration to dive into a field and to create essentially a market that we wouldn't have had probably for another decade without him.
Absolutely. And the website I want to direct people to during our conversation today is myfuturestory.com. What is My Future Story? We've talked about it before on the show, but for people who are hearing you for the first time, what is it and how did you create it?
My Future Story is designed to create opportunities for kids to explore careers. So for younger kids, that 9 to 12 kind of age group, we're creating a book series. For older kids, we're doing field trips and career fairs, et cetera, to get them into offices and manufacturing places and things so that they can see the reality of the world of work. And then we're also helping companies do things like create really good take your kid to work day activities, and some of the latest stuff we're doing is helping companies create scholarships for summer camps and advanced education.
Now, what do we recognize? Let's say it's the latter. It's a corporation, right? And they got the kids coming to work with mom and dad. What are some of the clues for the older, you know, either whether it's a big brother or it's mom and dad or somebody, but somebody who cares about this kid and wants to make sure that what is special about them is pronounced, that the kid himself or herself feels it? What are some of the telltale signs of what is inspiring to the child? How to get them inspired? You know, some kids, this won't be a surprise to you because I know you have a lot of experience with it. On Go to Work with Dad Day, they just grab their phone and go in the corner of his office and do nothing. They sit there silently and dad works. And it's bring your kid, hey, son, I'm doing sales calls right now. Yeah, great, dad, back to the phone. So what are the telltale signs that I can see as a parent, or as I said, like even an older brother, that can see and say, you know something, this is going to be inspiring to them, or this is the chord I want to touch on the visit to work today?
It often involves looking at where is there a common thread through the various things that a child latches on to. So sometimes people think, oh, they only play video games. I'll pick on some of the active complaints out there. You know, just want to play video games all the time. Well, which type of video games are there? Getting to know that type of thing. Is it the visual? Is it competitive? Is it something where they're playing in teams? You know, there's a lot more activity now in video games where it's team play and they're Skyping while they're playing the game and they're meeting people. It's like, great. Why is it that you like to, you know, talk to people and meet people online? And all of a sudden you find out that it's great that they're talking to someone. You know, I can talk to people in another country or from a different state or a different age group. And you can start pulling things from that. Well, you know, that's what salespeople do. They get on the phone. They meet new people. They have no problem doing that. Or is it the visual part that they really like? What do they do? What are they drawn to repeatedly? And it takes attention. You have to make an effort as a parent or a mentor or an older sibling to kind of see where are things replicating themselves. Is it science or is it a specific type of science? They like to watch TV. Is it always the medical shows they go to? But, you know, there's different tips out there if you're watching carefully and asking questions. Sometimes, especially teenagers, asking questions can get tricky, I know.
Right. And then, you know, a lot of us as grown-ups want these kids to experience something totally different. You know, I want you to no phone all day. No phone. It's go to work with daddy day. Turn off the phone and I'll take your phone, little man. And all day, you're going to have to not look at the screen. All day, you're going to have to see physical realities that are unfamiliar. And every time dad walks down the hall, your job is to jump up and walk behind him. I'm not going to ask you to get up. I'm telling you right now, everybody I go talk to, every time I go to a meeting, every time I go down to the break room, your job is to jump up and follow me and see what I'm doing. Because I do feel that the kids that are screen dependent, you know, whether it's a tablet or a phone, they're getting a narrow view of the world. The world is not made up of just internet presentations. What drives the internet is what the internet does for people and the doing and the showing. But it's delicate, right? Because if you're too abrupt with it, then they won't take in what's happening. But you want to make sure that they're challenged and there's nothing same about the interaction. Can you give us some guidance on that?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that people can do. One is, it's not up to the child to drive a meaningful day. So I am very much an advocate of working with the corporation to build the activities that give kids an opportunity to see a lot of different things. If the company or the HR department isn't doing something to, you know, to help make that appealing, then it's maybe you need to take it upon yourself to say, which departments do you think the kid would like to see? Like, what about sitting in on a tech support call that's coming into the office? And ask one of your coworkers, can my kid sit in for 20 minutes and listen to what you do?
Nice.
Or sitting with the programmers that are working on something or the IT department. Let them talk to people throughout the organization. One of the things I've done, especially with like middle school age, is I've helped a company create basically a scavenger hunt type activity where as they meet different people that's on their schedule to meet, they need to find out like who's been with the company the longest, who has, you know, been to the most countries, you know, in a company where a lot of people travel. And those kinds of conversations, when they're asking the questions of the workers, they learn a lot about the company and the different jobs that are there. Well, why do you travel, you know, 10 times a year to Germany?
Right.
Well, that's where our manufacturing plant is. And so helping the child have tools at their disposal that create the right kind of conversations is really important.
Absolutely. Lois Melbourne is our guest. The website, myfuturestory.com. Can you walk us through some of the resources on the website and how they will help folks? I see that you do have career spotlights, you've got blogs, and events and opportunities. Tell us a little bit about what will be helpful to parents concerned about the imagination of their kid wanting to explore things and hoping that they will find some kind of career someday that really is a reflection of what is inspiring to them.
I have on the website the career spotlights, which are really designed for kind of the middle grade, high school, even into, you know, post-high school age kind of group. And it's letting them learn in a concise way about different types of careers. And I am always looking for people to say, can you spotlight these types of careers? And we will add more to it. There are always more coming on to the site. We also offer school visits and team discussions. And sometimes when schools or teams don't have budget to, you know, bring me into a location, we'll do it via Skype. So that's something that you can, you know, learn about. It lets me talk to kids about careers and be interactive with them and kind of get them thinking about how they might go through the steps of figuring out what they want to be. And then the blog has different resources and that they could explore, whether it be books for young kids or ideas and resources for older students to look at.
How early is an internship recommended, in your opinion, and what is the value of an internship?
Internships, definitely in post-high school. There are some students that are mature enough to do internships while they're in high school, and I highly encourage it. If they're in high school, it is best if the intern location is with a group that is understanding of the fact that they're really shaping an individual here, and they need to be able to have the expectation that this student may have zero clue about office etiquette or those types of things, so that it's really a starter kit when you walk in as an intern. But the value for the student is amazing because they can get access to different types of jobs to say, yes, this is really fascinating to me, or nope, I don't think that's what I want to do.
Let me ask, this is very provocative here. I want to ask about this. When do you push back on the kid and go, whoa, 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 you're dismissing it too fast? Whoa, whoa, what do you mean no? Or do we have to kind of genuflect to any impulse they have because, you know, there's a lot more to their refusal? But when they say, well, no, I don't really like that. Shouldn't you push a little bit to get them to articulate why they don't like it and make an attempt to sell it to them a little bit so they don't get used to, I don't like it, I don't do it. I didn't like it, I didn't do it. Yeah.
Very good point. The cost of a no, I don't like it is an articulate explanation of why. Otherwise, they don't get by with it in my book.
Right on.
And it's very important, and I set the expectation with the students that I work with. I set that expectation early on, is that it's fine to, you know, to discard things that you're learning about, but like I said, the cost is you have to really talk to me about why. Because it might be because the person they were working with was creepy. You know,
that's right,
and that's not a reason.
Absolutely.
To say
right.
No, I don't like that.
That's right.
Or it might be that that environment just wasn't quite right or fostering enough. Even in college, you know, and this is a big thing that I'm having to work with corporations about. The College Board did a survey of students, and 58% of the interns would not go back to the same company that they interned with because of the internship experience. And a lot of times it's because companies put their interns in front of a copier and they really treat them like admin assistants instead of really making the internship a learning experience. And so, you know, there's you need to define it properly. An internship is a learning experience.
I really want
a summer job.
Right, right.
Is making photocopies and filing.
That's it. I want to underscore this. Really, really make a highlight of this. The benefit of that internship is two ways. When you engage that intern, you are getting fresh and vital information about the experience at your workplace. And the engagement for the intern is where the spark is going to come from to begin to fall in love with the kind of thing we want them to see as a career opportunity. We want them to love opportunity, but you don't get to love anything, as you say, when you're, you know, making copies, because administrative work, as grown-ups learn later, right? It's not, the kid's not going to get this instantly, but we all know admin work is a work discipline of its own. Being a good receptionist and making copies and collating and prepping for meetings, that is a transferable skill, but that is not unique to whether it's an advertising agency or it's a marketing firm or it's some real, substantive position. If you take the substance out of it, you take the content out of it, then you're almost defeating the purpose of having them there, right?
Right, right. In my previous life, my previous career, my requirement for any department that requested an intern was their commitment to me was that no tasks would be delivered to the intern without them explaining to the intern why it was needed in the context of which that work was going to be utilized. And that just became that framework for them to then understand, oh, I'm not just going to treat them as a flunky. They have to be in here to learn. And we got incredible work from our interns, testing software and marketing and doing sales screening and things like that, where the students got real life experience.
Right.
And it benefited the company as well.
Absolutely. I think there's no doubt about that. A lot of companies miss the boat on internships, and they just want to be able to say that they have interns. They kind of do it in a self-flattering way. But if you truly engage them, the benefit for the company is enormous, and obviously it opens up a vista and a world to the child, to the maybe adolescent, that doesn't absolutely visit them until they have the experience of the internship, so they never would know this. But there's one more important thing, I think, on the website, myfuturestory.com, that I know you feel strongly about. I've always felt biographies teach a great deal about careers to kids that love to read. What is the value of a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, a 12-year-old reading a biography, especially a biography of someone extraordinary, not just a story about a boy who played baseball, but the story of Lou Gehrig or the story of Babe Ruth or these real iconic figures? What does that do for them when they engage that kind of reading material?
The great thing about biographies is the real day-to-day story often comes out, and the inflection points of someone's life. So you find out that someone spent years and years trying to, you know, prove a scientific theory, and all of the different heartaches that they went through, and the joy of you know, getting written in a journal and getting published, and then what aha moments did they have, and how did they recognize that that was a turning point? And when a kid reads through that, it becomes more real. The element of hard work, the awareness that people have to have in order to be able to, like a writer of a biography has to really dig deep to make it an intriguing story. And to make it an intriguing story, they have to uncover both the highs and the lows, on top of where did the spark come from? Why did this person, you know, become so insistent that this was the career path that they were going to follow? They might not use those words, but that's what comes out when you hear the life story of someone that's doing something fantastic, is they found a passion and they dedicated themselves to it. So it's quite often very inspiring.
Indeed. You know, Lois, this whole idea I've understood for many, many years, but you really put some teeth into it here. It is extremely healthy. It is extremely good for the future success of kids to find the link between what they love to do and their future career. I mean, I felt I was lucky. I was always the chatty kid in class. I always volunteered to answer questions. When no hands would go up, my hand would go right up and want to start a conversation and initiate. And I'll tell you, no one had to suggest to me that I would do radio and television someday, because the minute I laid eyes on it, it looked like exactly what I've always wanted to do. And it hit me in my teens. I think I was 16 or 17 years old, but I was like, oh my God, you can get paid for doing this? And it was back during the Vietnam War, and my mom used to listen to a radio show every day without fail. She had that show on while she was making dinner, and the host of the show was very much an iconoclast about that ongoing news issue. And the contrast between the Walter Cronkite version on television from the evening news and the analysis and kind of spontaneous conversation with callers just jumped out at me. And I think I was lucky, because we really didn't have a lot of the tools that you are demonstrating to people to use. So I can tell you from firsthand experience, loving something and finding a career in doing what you love is remarkably satisfying and very, very advisable, I'm sure you would agree, for emotional health. You can't really sustain not loving what you do and then do it for 25, 30 years, right?
Not without also making your family miserable.
Right. Right.
It is very important. And, you know, in the past, you've often asked about, you know, what are tips that I can offer up to parents? And like your example of radio, if there's a student that's inclined, then what clubs are possibly at the school that they can do? Can they do the announcements in the morning, you know, over the loudspeaker of the school? Is there a club that they can go to? Is there a summer camp that they can go to that is with like-minded kids there, where they can explore it and they can, you know, really dive into, is it politics? Is it leadership? Is it science? Is it art? Where are there opportunities to make a hobby out of exercising your interests, which could then lead to a career?
Absolutely. Boy, I'll tell you, it's refreshing to know that this is still a goal for companies and for families, because I think sometimes it does get lost in the application of the practical. We just have to be practical. And really, to launch these kids well, we don't want the practical barriers. We really want them to see that anything is possible. And once they believe that, then they are going to reach in deeper to the things that they love. Lois Melbourne, a terrific guest. We're so glad you were able to make time for us again today. Go to myfuturestory.com. My Future Story is all about helping kids explore careers through books. 8 to 12-year-olds via group or classroom field trips we mentioned before. And My Future Story also helps companies and corporations understand the power and the mechanics of scholarships, internships, job shadowing, apprenticeships, and more. Lois, you do great work, and we're so glad we had time to be together today. Thank you, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
You bet. You're a lot of fun. Thank you. Lois Melbourne on the Ed Till Show, myfuturestory.com.